Coming up on today's show.
You never know what life is going to bring you, but God's always going to put you in a position that you can handle. Lean on Him when you feel like you don't have what it takes.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it, in my opinion, is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I so enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. As we start the final 7 days of August, we are now 5 weeks away from my birthday, and it makes me wonder if kids still make up birthday lists nowadays. I know there are Amazon wish lists, but I think back to sitting down and writing out a list of gift ideas for people who are going to buy me something. Kids will ask for a baseball mitt or Nikes or maybe a tennis racket or something big like a backboard and a hoop and a net so they can shoot baskets in the backyard. In fact, there are even parents who, never mind the birthday, will incentivize a kid to behave by saying, if you're good, we'll get you a, I don't know, hockey stick at the end of 30 days straight, or words to that effect, meaning if they're bad, there will be no reward and or they will get punished. Never mind the material objects. We are truly blessed to have a Heavenly Father who, in His abundant love, gave us His only Son. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, quote, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has played competitive basketball his entire life, saying that his team always won first place in league, and during his senior year at Mark Keppel High School, his team made it to the California Interscholastic Federation semifinals with only one player over 6 feet. He was featured in his local newspaper twice as part of their basketball coverage. Plus, he ran track in high school as well, having gotten his mile down to 4 minutes 11 seconds. On the faith side, he works at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, where he hosts two shows, Through His Wounds and Thunderous Theological Thursdays. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Anthony Acosta.
Thank you for having me, Catholic Sports Radio family. Glad to be here for some Monday motivation. I always say I'm too blessed to be stressed, so thank you, Bruce.
Yes, yes. And as a result of the opportunities I have gotten to be the interviewee, thank you for doing the same, meaning switching your normal role to be on the guest side of the mic this time. Let's start off by having you share with us first where you were born and raised, as well as what the family size was.
Sure. I was born and raised in Monterey Park, California. It's 20 minutes outside of downtown LA, a little bit past East LA. My family size, believe it or not, I have 6 brothers, 1 sister. All of us are ballers. She's a volleyball player, and we all just really get into it. Really competitive family.
Okay, 6 brothers and a sister. Out of the 8 of you, where do you fall? Oldest, middle, youngest, that type of thing?
So I was number four in the birth rank, but because my older siblings are older, I was kind of the oldest in the household.
Ah, I see.
So
I
I'll
see.
say a little bit about.
I'm pretty sure that you are a cradle Catholic. Tell us about the presence of the faith in the Acosta household when you were a young boy.
It's the main aspect of our life. I never really noticed it until I had friends come over our house and be like, "Wow, you guys are really Catholic," because on our walls it's filled with Catholic art. The big enthronement to the Sacred Heart portrait, it's got to be at least 4 feet above the fireplace. Really intimidating if you don't know what it is. But we prayed the rosary every night, went to confession monthly, and had a great relationship with priests. Altar served from a very young age. I was not your typical cradle Catholic, but I was the cradle Catholic, a real cradle Catholic, I guess.
Now, I have some follow-up questions because number one, I'm wondering if you said friends would come over and they would notice. Is that a sign of the fact that the Catholic faith was just so ingrained in your family that you and your siblings didn't think twice about the environment that you were raised in?
Well, yes. To me, it was always, oh, there's Mary and the angels are singing to her in that picture. That's the Sacred Heart of Jesus in that picture. That's Padre Pio. That's JP2. But to them, like, they've never seen Catholic aura. They've never seen what it looks like to be Catholic and have a Catholic household. So to them, our whole house was like this temple of worship,
Yeah,
which kind of was.
I see that. I see that. There was someone on the show not too long ago who I really want to say was one of 15 children in the household and said, obviously, when you have that many kids, there's such a huge disparity in age from oldest to youngest that it's not mom and dad taking 15 kids to church. Was there a point in time, though, where mom and dad were taking all eight of you to church, or is it kind of the same thing where the oldest and the youngest are so far apart in age that that wasn't necessarily the case?
We definitely do our best to go to Mass as a family. And even as an adult today, I try my best to go to Mass as a family. They definitely emphasize having a family. My mom was really big on having that picture perfect big family and, saying grace, dressing nice, making sure like our pants weren't too low or anything, our clothes weren't too baggy, but just having that picture perfect family really important. So, yes, I guess, to answer your question.
But I wonder, going to confession monthly is the part that I picked up on. And I got to believe and set the record straight that there had to be some pushback at some point. Come on, mom. Come on, dad. We just went last month. Do we have to go again? Is there any takeaway from this, a teaching moment for parents who are listening in terms of making sure to keep that regimen, to keep that discipline so that you don't cave into your kids and go, okay, and kind of goes back to my ministry moment. Okay, you've been really well behaved. Maybe we can skip this month.
Absolutely. Let's not miss the opportunity to say that we resisted with every ounce of our passion. I only sound so grateful now. Only sound so grateful now as an adult because I see how beautiful the faith is. And like my parents were really just doing it for my own good. But my mom would like people think the father is the main disciplinary in the family, but in our family, my mom was the stern one. And my dad was super Catholic. He knew all the apologetics, but my mom was the one to like get in our face when we were lacking. And she was never going to let us slip, never going to give us any excuse to skip school or even let alone catechism class. We would drive 45 minutes to an hour in traffic to go to Father Broom, who many Catholic listeners may know. He has a blog online that's very popular, Father Ed Broom from St. Peter Chanel. We would go all the way to his parish, go out of our way just to get catechized where he was at, and we would go to confession with him face to face, and it was huge. But we didn't like it; it was uncomfortable. He would tell me things like, "Oh, you're a really good confessor. You should try to improve, keep improving on your confessions." And in my head, I'm like, "Dang, how do I improve on what I'm doing wrong?" But we would have conversations like that, and we would comprehend it because we knew the faith as kids.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Let's switch to sports for a minute. The Lakers, the Clippers, a family member, what or who got you interested in basketball that you say that you've played competitive basketball your entire life?
You're right. So I grew up playing basketball. It was kind of the first thing I knew in kindergarten. My dad was a big sports guy. He was our coach. He was really good at developing just basic fundamentals, putting in the discipline for hard work on defense. That was our main thing as a coach, as we were going to be defenders. And since you said Lakers, I must mention, I do live in LA. I am not a Laker fan. I am a Boston Celtics fan. And that attributes to my personality a little bit, because I saw them wrecking Kobe's career with no support. I mean, the best player was Kwame Brown after him. So I was like, I need a front office that I can support. And then the big three came around and I was like, whoa, okay. And I really love Rondo. And my play style is nitty gritty like Rondo, and where I just try to get after it defensively, make impacts in ways that aren't necessarily scoring. And I feel like that could attribute to personality. I think basketball is a good way to judge someone's personality.
But I like the reference at the beginning to your father being the coach, and folks, we've heard on countless episodes of the show how much that does for a father-son relationship, a mother-son, a mother-daughter, all the possible combinations. So it was great to hear. Sometimes it'll be, my dad was a big basketball fan, and it ends there. But to hear, Anthony, that your dad was also your coach, obviously I'm preaching to the choir that was instrumental in continuing that relationship that some don't get the opportunity to, those that aren't interested in sports.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important just that you show some type of, like, attention to your kid. And we got 8 kids. My brother really felt abandoned by my mom because they would have to split up. And my dad was always going to his games because he was, like, the head coach of his team, but he was the assistant coach on my team. So I was always going with my mom. And you know, I could see how kids, they want their parents there. They need their parents there. I go by the park, and oftentimes there's a mom who's trying to show her kids how to play basketball, and she doesn't know what she's doing. So I go in and help them, because you know that's what my dad did for me. She's doing her best by bringing them to the park. At least how many parents do you know take their kids to the park? And it's just, I really do see the benefit of having an active parent or guardian that's watching you as you're growing and developing your skill.
Yeah, nicely said.
It's hard to do it alone.
Share with the audience about the 2 times that you were featured in the local newspaper, because those were not about points and rebounds and steals. Explain what I'm referring to, and then just your view present day on those 2 instances, and if the Holy Spirit has moved in you at all to possibly have a different view today or not from when those were first published.
So the reason I got featured in the newspaper now is because they knew my face after talking to the board meeting. You know, the district board meetings I would go to talk against Common Core. During one of the girls' games, we went to a weird high school, the administration told the student section to stop cheering. And it was gotten to so bad to the point, I mean, believe it or not, right, that they told us to stop cheering, and the girls started losing momentum, super quiet in the gym. The parents can only get so loud. This is CIF during the playoffs. The student section was roaring beforehand. We were all standing up. Maybe that's why we were a little too loud. I don't know, but they told us to stop cheering. We could not cheer anymore. And me, in my defiance, knowing what's right and seeing myself as a constant sacrifice because I'm Catholic. That's my motto, is like, as a Catholic, you are a sacrifice, so live as a sacrifice. So I stood up to cheer, and that got me in trouble. And the news reporter was there to report on the girls' game, saw me doing this, and yeah, that's where it all started. I got featured again because my basketball coach told me that I was stupid for talking to the newspaper, and that I could face some real repercussions, and that I was putting his job on the line by speaking to the newspaper. And my bottom line to my coach at the time, I was really kind of like a high school punk, typical high school punk. And I said, "Coach, well, if you think I'm wrong, then do something about it." So, and I walked away. Little did I know that he would actually do something about it. So he would not show up to practice when I was there. Wow. I had a doctor's appointment one time during 6th period, and they did run a full practice. And I thought, what the heck? This is weird. Like, we haven't practiced in 2 weeks. We've just been doing shoot around, and maybe we're going to start practicing now. Like, I'm glad to come back tomorrow and practice.
Yeah.
But again, it was just shooting around. It was just shooting around. So it took a while for him to get over it, because we did have to go into the district office for him calling me names, and I maybe shouldn't have reported him to the newspaper, but I felt like I wasn't being heard in my school, so I felt like I needed to go back.
Well, I like the Catholic angle that you said in there. And in fact, in the lead up to today, you told me, quote, "My motivation for serving the church comes from the knowledge of knowing that all evil can be conquered through true understanding of the catechism and proper formation," end quote. I love the sound of that, but I would still like you to elaborate on that for us.
So altar serving is very important. I know girls cannot altar serve, but if you have a son, make sure to sign him up for altar serving. It helps him come to the realization that Christ is present in the tabernacle. If you can't altar serve, at least when you pass by a church, make the sign of the cross. And in that sense, you're bowing to your King who is physically present in the tabernacle. Again, we have to wrap our minds around that because it's the source and summit of the Catholic faith, meaning we begin there and we end there. So it must be pretty important, right? So altar serving, seeing the priest be super delicate with the chalice, going into the sanctuary in the back and getting yelled at for not being irreverent, you know, even if we're just goofing around. I remember one of my earliest memories as a kid is Jesse Romero, who is a Catholic evangelist who goes across the country teaching the faith. He yelled at me as a little kid for drinking holy water. I remember to this day, like, his face, like, yelling at me not to do that. And me and his son were both drinking holy water, just playing around. But again, we need those disciplines. We need those moments of correction so that we know what is right. A lot of the times today, Catholics, they don't speak out for what is right, even the little things. Even when someone is wearing a weird top as an extraordinary minister, we need to say something so that it doesn't start that slippery slope, and at least they can be aware of what is right and what the standard is. You know, the kids, they don't necessarily have to follow it. And they know the faith. Okay, they're going to be the ones to break away, as long as, but you have to trust that they know it.
An audience, you heard Anthony mention Jesse Romero. He was actually a guest on this show way back in December of 2020. That was episode 97. He was a three-time World Police Olympics boxing champion and is a former USA middleweight kickboxing champion. So if you never heard my interview with Jesse Romero, as Anthony said, he's very well known. Go back and listen to episode 97. Friends, it occurred to me that some of you are likely consuming this podcast each week through one of the podcast apps on your phone. With Alliance Catholic Credit Union, you can manage your money from your phone anytime, anywhere. Their mobile app allows you to add accounts, move money as needed, and deposit checks. You can pay others with Zelle and use Apple Pay or Google Pay to securely make payments on the go. Safe, secure, Catholic. Can your bank say that? Visit AllianceCatholic.com and put your money where your faith is. Federally insured by NCUA. And be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. In A Spirituality of Fundraising, the late Catholic priest and spiritual writer Henry Nouwen reminds us that asking for financial support is really an invitation into a vision, into the work that God has given us to do. Catholic Sports Radio is that work for me. For 6.5 years, I have shown up every week, not because it's my job, it is not, but because God placed this ministry on my heart, and it's a joy to bring these conversations about faith and sports to you and to listeners around the world. But ministry, like any mission, needs partners. Nouwen says that when we invite people to give, we are asking them to join us in something eternal, to connect their treasure to their heart. Your gift is not just covering a hosting fee or equipment costs. It's placing a share of your own story into what God is doing through Catholic Sports Radio. If you feel called to give, you can do so through the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net or by contacting me via social media or through the website to send a check through the mail. With your permission, I would be honored to thank you on a future episode or keep you anonymous if you prefer. Prayerfully consider making a one-time gift. Not to me, personally, but into the abundant work God is doing here. Because when you give, you're not just helping keep Catholic Sports Radio going, you're proclaiming with me that Christ belongs in every arena. Anthony, you and I are both servants who hope that people will give time to listening to the shows that we host. But in an interview, you said, as the guest, about the importance of silence and watching where our minds go in that time. Can you share that with my audience?
So I believe you're talking about this take that I give where you have to guard your mind. And the way you do that is through silence, because this world is full of noise, full of chaos. They're always going to be throwing something at you. There's ups and downs in sports that we go through, things that are always out of our control. You know, you can prepare for as much things as you can, but you get to this point where all this stuff in your head is making so much noise. And the way you prepare to battle that, the way you prepare to filter all that noise, is to spend some time in silence. Spend some time in front of our Lord, in adoration, in meditation, where you're only thinking about one thing, something holy. You're meditating on his sorrows. You're meditating on his mysteries. You're meditating on our Blessed Mother, so that when the noise does come, you can retract and use your meditations and retreat into those thoughts, retreat into those inclinations, and use that to guard yourself from the noise. And that's how you use silence.
Audience, a beautiful answer that Anthony just gave, and I wanted you to hear him say that in his own words, because as you can tell, Anthony is one of our younger guests and someone who is likely, Anthony, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but likely to be more tempted to be drawn into spending time on social media. And here you are saying, spend time in silence.
Yeah, people think I'm a freak because I'm meditating on his sorrows, but I know that that's what's going to save me. It's the true freedom. They've always said the vices. The devil is the one who keeps you in his prison, and divinity is the one who lets you choose. In order to have those choices, you need to be able to discern what is right and wrong.
So I had started into that question by referring to you being a host. Tell us about Through His Wounds, as well as Thunderous Theological Thursdays, both of which are on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Yes, my favorite compliment that I ever got from a priest is that, you know what, Anthony, you don't know how to be anything but Catholic. That's because I see the world through the wounds of Christ, okay? That is the best way to interpret this world. One of the main generals of Satan is the demon of deception, and you can tell that he rules over America. So in order to defeat deception, we need to see the world through the wounds of Christ, and then Theological Thunderous Thursdays on the Full Sheen Ahead YouTube channel, in case anyone's interested on that show.
Is that by any chance a nod to Bishop Fulton Sheen?
A nod to Bishop Fulton Sheen, where, you know, legends never die. We say Full Sheen Ahead, so we know we're going in the right direction.
Okay, now you and I were introduced to one another by Jose Pulido. He was the guest back on episode 316 of Catholic Sports Radio. Anthony, you met Jose at a Catholic conference. What was that event specifically? Tell us about your experience there.
Well, it was an event hosted by Virgin Most Powerful Radio. It's the Spiritual Warfare Conference. It happens every year. Spiritual Warfare with America's number one exorcist, Father Chad Ripperger. Jose Pulido was tabling, and I had never met him. We never met, but of course, as Catholics do, we get off on talking about apologetics. It's funny because I don't even know anything about Jose personally besides his name and that he's always wearing a suit. I don't know what favorite color. I don't know what city he lives in. I don't know what car he drives, but I know what his stance is on the Eucharist. I know what he feels about the state of the church. And again, we're just only Catholic things here.
Yeah, an audience, to Anthony's credit, clearly Jose could probably say the same thing. I don't know Anthony's favorite color. I don't know where he lives, et cetera, et cetera. But the referral came to me in the form of Jose gushing about Anthony and his Catholic faith. And Anthony, I think in the grand scheme of things, you probably do pride yourself in the basketball that you play, but I think you'd much rather be described as someone as the type of Catholic that Jose said than someone who's got a great outside shot.
And my jump shot was never great. Like I said, I was good at defense. And that's exactly what I'm doing, defending the faith.
Nicely said. So then, on a related note, as someone who played basketball for so long and was also quite competitive running track, I'd love to hear your view of the mix of faith and sports.
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily a mix of faith. Okay, well, it was weird for people to see me have to miss games because it's Sunday. And when we go out to team bonding and stuff, like, oh, I got to say grace. Excuse me. So that is weird. But I think the main thing we're dealing with is no faith at all. So many people, at least in my area, are nothings. They don't have any meaning and purpose in their life. So when they see something like sports, that's all it is to them. It's not a way to grow. It's not a way to find yourself or build character. To them, it's just, oh, I play basketball. Oh, I play football. Oh, I'm trying to be the best because, that's what's supposed to happen. But what if you're not the best? How are you going to make the best version of yourself? My basketball coach always said, Jay can't jump high, but we're going to make sure that Jay jumps as high as he can. And that's why I love basketball. I know who's going to work hard on the court because so many of us saw many members quit in the middle of the season. Our coaches would run us in between Tuesdays and Fridays. We would condition on Wednesdays, and to think like, oh, if your game's on Tuesday, you're going to condition on Wednesday, and then you're going to get ready for the game on Friday? Yes, because we were that hardcore. We ran 24/7. Like I said, we didn't have anyone over 6 feet. So in order to win, we had to not let the other team know that they were bigger than us. So we would have to run hard, jump high, throw lobs, backdoors, do whatever it takes. And I feel like a lot of people don't take that discipline into their faith life. So when they see people being super dedicated in their faith and kneeling for communion and putting their tongue out and putting their hands up during the Our Father, kneeling when they say, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world." When they see someone doing all those things, they're like, "Well, that's a little weird. It's because you haven't gone hardcore, man. You need to turn it on and just do it." I remember Hell Week. It was the worst week of my life when I was a freshman because it was my first time being introduced to it. We were diving 17s and my sides were all cut up, but I was wearing a shirt that said, "Just do it." And, sometimes you might not like what you have to do, but my coach told us that day, I still remember, just do it.
Well, and there's also something to be said for God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And what I'm getting at is some people will say, well, I just never had the skills and the ability to play basketball or to play sports, period. And you say, that's okay, but you can always talk about your faith. You can always evangelize. And I think there's pushback, Anthony, for the people that would say, no, but I can't be an Anthony Acosta. I can't be a Bruce Wozniak. I can't be a Jesse Romero. I can't go out there and evangelize. And it's almost like you're making excuses. Well, how many free throws did you practice afterwards if you're bad from the free throw line? And how have you tried to practice the faith in a way that you'll feel more confident and more comfortable evangelizing? I'd just love to hear your thoughts on that.
I like what you said about the called, and we definitely, when it's a time for us to rise to the occasion, we're gonna end up falling back into our habits and the things that we have practiced. That's why Kobe was such a killer, because he spent all that time practicing so that when he was in those moments, they weren't foreign to him. A big part of our program at Mark Keppel High School was uncomfortability, putting you in situations that are uncomfortable. We used to do CrossFit before CrossFit was a thing. We call it polytechnics and beast position and all this crazy stuff. And we would just, again, it's all about being uncomfortable. We would run for days. I'm telling you, do you guys know what a mountain is? It's when you want to run one lap and three laps and five laps and seven, and you go back down the mountain. And yeah, it was insane. But my whole point in all that is you never know what life is going to bring you, but God's always going to put you in a position that you can handle. Lean on Him when you feel like you don't have what it takes, and then lean on the things that you've practiced in the past. When you're sharing the faith and you don't feel confident, there's always one little nugget that everyone knows. That's what's so beautiful about the faith. I don't know anything. I don't have any major degrees, but I just know little truths here and there, and I'm able to proclaim them with confidence that people don't even question me.
Wow, I love it. I love it. I love the confidence and I love that advice. Let's close the same way that we did a few weeks ago in episode 340. I asked Basketball Hall of Fame coach Bob Hurley. He said that he's a Boston Celtics fan. So give us the outlook. I know it's summertime, but the upcoming season, no Jason Tatum. What are things going to be like in 2025, 2026 for the Celtics, Anthony?
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. Real quick, because I have my notes, this is really important. This is like the highlight of my high school career. If you go to In the Lab YouTube channel, they're a really big basketball YouTube channel. If you look up how to beat a zone defense in the lab, that is a review of our team in the Paul Pierce Fall League in Inglewood playing against, like, we're all short. You can see the video. We're all short and we're playing against some giants and we're beating their zone, thinking like they could pack the zone. But anyway,
Nice.
that the Boston Celtics, I believe that we never have a down year. We always have a chance. Jaylen Brown is someone who can carry it by himself. Now, I don't know what we're going to do without Porzingis. Hopefully, Peyton Pritchard can step up. I don't really think Jason Tatum, believe it or not, was that much of an X factor last year. They had him shooting all types of weird shots. I want to see what the team looks like without that, and we can ball again.
All right. All right. Well, that's why they play the games, as the saying goes. Anthony, wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and the work that you're doing for the kingdom.
Amen, Bruce. God bless your family and God bless your listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And audience, as a nod to all of Anthony's years playing basketball, I thought it would be fitting if this week we close with an athlete's prayer. So let's pray that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear God, today is game day, and I place myself in your loving hands. Help me to be a good sport. I pray that I do not seek individual glory or accolades, but rather that I play for your glory and for the good of my team. I pray that all who play this game today are protected from physical harm. And my Lord, help me to accept the bad breaks as part of the game. I pray that I play to the best of my ability and to give honor to you by accepting my position and my place in the lineup. Loving God, I pray for those who watch from the stands that they too give glory to you by accepting, without prejudice, the rules and decisions of the game today. May their hearts be filled with joy and gladness that you have given them the ultimate gifts they watch this day, the players. Dear God, I pray for the coaches and referees that they too experience your loving guidance in the decisions they make today, for those who work behind the scenes to make this day enjoyable, and for the founders and supporters. Finally, I pray to you, loving God, that you enjoy this game today and bestow on each of us wisdom and acceptance, no matter the outcome of the final score. With you in our hearts, we are all winners. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is @CathSportsRadio on all those, CATH, @CathSportsRadio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.